And I'm going to invite you to turn with me to the last book in the Bible, the book of the Revelation. And to the very last chapter, Revelation chapter 22. We rejoiced in God's blessings this morning, and we praise the Lord for the victories of this day. And as we come now to the reading of God's Word and the closing service for today, I want to say again that it is a joy to have you in the services, and I trust that it will be a blessing to your heart. Revelation chapter 22, and I'm going to begin reading at verse 1 of this great chapter, but first I'm going to ask you to join with me in just a moment of prayer. Our Father, we thank Thee for the meaning of this day and tomorrow, and we know that without Christ it would have no meaning. We know that without Him our lives would have no meaning. We know that our existence would be in vain, and that no day would have meaning without the Lord Jesus Christ. So we thank Thee for that which is brought to our minds in this season, that Jesus Christ has become our Savior by being born of the Virgin and brought into the world to become a sacrifice for sin. We thank Thee that He has put away sin by the sacrifice of Himself, and that as we look for His return, we can rejoice tonight with every passing year and with every passing day and with every passing moment, to know that Christ is with us until He comes for us to be with Him. So may we rejoice in these thoughts as we look into Thy Word. In Jesus' name we ask it, and for His sake, with thanksgiving, amen. From the Isle of Patmos, the beloved Apostle John, the apostle who was nearest to the Lord Jesus Christ, wrote the words of the revelation when he received the revelation of Jesus Christ. His closing chapter begins like this as he describes the heavenly world. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and His servants shall serve Him. And they shall see His face, and His name shall be in their foreheads. And there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun. For the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. And he said unto me, these sayings are faithful and true. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show unto his servants the things which must shortly be done. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. All over the world tonight, stockings are hanging as a symbol of the joys of Christmas. In almost every country, trees have been gaily decorated to bring again the remembrance of the time of feasting, of fellowship, and of fun. The very thought of
The Christmas tree, I'm sure, brings to your own heart and minds many precious memories, perhaps from your own childhood. I shall never forget how we used to race downstairs on Christmas morning to see what Santa Claus had brought. But beyond what we have for the children and have for each other in the way of Christmas and in the way of decorating the Christmas tree, I think that it is most important that we realize the true meaning of Christmas. And so I want to talk to you for a few moments tonight about God's Christmas tree. This is the tree of life. This tree is in reach of every needy soul, whether he be red or yellow, black or white, as the song goes. Jesus loves the little children of the world. Red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in his sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world. On God's Christmas tree, there are gifts for every man and every woman and every child in all this universe. And isn't it a thrilling thought to know that God loved us enough to send his Son to die for us, that he might be made in the likeness of sinful flesh and know all of the sorrows and the tragedies and the temptations to which we are exposed as members of the human race? Why, we might ask, would God pick one little speck of dust out of the vast systems of the universe, and we could not begin to count them tonight? There are so many stars that are bigger than our sun, it would be impossible for us to count them. And we think that our sun is so big and so enormous, and it is, because it brings us energy and light and life, but it is very small compared to multiplied billions of other stars that God has out there, and the other planets, and all that God could have done. Isn't it a marvel of grace that he has done what he has? No wonder Paul writes in Romans 11, oh, the depth both of the wisdom and the riches of his knowledge and of his grace. Who hath known the mind of the Lord? Who hath been his counselor? Who has told God what to do? Who has given to God that it might be received again? No one, for Paul concludes, of him and through him and by him are all things. The marvel of grace is that God could ever love us in the situation that he found us in, helpless and undone. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. Oh, when I think of God's Christmas tree, when I think that on God's Christmas tree there's a gift with your name on it tonight, you can have it. It's out there for you. And I want to point out briefly, by the help of the Holy Spirit, the gifts on God's Christmas tree. First, there's the gift of forgiveness. There's not a person in this house tonight who has not sinned against God. Though man was made in the image and in the likeness of God, sin separated man from God like a wedge. The Lord's hand is not heavy that he cannot save. The Lord's ear is not heavy that he cannot hear. The prophet Isaiah says, but your iniquities have separated between you and God. Sin has driven man from God, but God has provided forgiveness through his love and his mercy. Forgiveness, I believe, is the most expensive gift on God's tree, for it cost so much. As you behold under God's Christmas tree the gift of forgiveness, you might note that the fingerprints there
are left by a nail-scarred hand. You might note that the ribbon is a scarlet ribbon that speaks of his blood, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sin. This is God's gift to mankind. No wonder the psalmist broke forth in praise. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, and forget not all his benefits. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all of thy diseases. This is an expensive gift, and it's yours and it's mine simply by the asking. For John writes in his first epistle, chapter 1, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The gift of forgiveness. And then, still in the economy of God with man and in the Christmas tree of God, there's the gift of friendship. You know, the strongest person in the world tonight needs a friend. Perhaps you have not come to that place in your life when you really felt the need of a friend, a helping hand. As the old saying goes, a friend in need is a friend indeed. So we have the gift of friendship. And it doesn't matter how strong or how proud or boastful a person is. If he lives long enough, he will come to the time when he realizes he must of necessity have a friend. And God has given to us the gift of friendship in the person of his Son. There's a man in the Old Testament who is called the friend of God. His name is Abraham. I wonder, have you ever wondered why God called him his friend? Now, there are a lot of things about Abraham, but in many respects, there have been other heroes of the faith. Why, Paul lists a whole catalog of the heroes of faith in Hebrews 11. But out of all of them, I find only Abraham who is called the friend of God. I think I have the answer. I believe it lies within this statement. Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. The little boy that came down to the altar this morning wanted to pray for his daddy who is lost. I'm talking to you now about something that children can understand. What a joy it is to be called the friend of God. And in the person of his Son, we who are believers, like Abraham, justified by the same faith, made heirs of the same promise, brought into the scope of the same covenant, by virtue of the fact that we have exercised faith in him and are believers, we're friends of God. And here is a friend that Solomon says sticketh closer than a brother. The gift of friendship. Reach out and get it by faith, for God wants to be your friend. There's a third gift, and this is the gift of hope. And what a beautiful package it is, and I believe it hangs near the lowest limb and within the reach of every soul. And this package of hope, it seems to me, shines with the light of God's love and glistens with the glory of God's promise. For I know tonight that we are living, by every standard of measure, humanly speaking, in a hopeless world, a very sick world. The heads of states and the heads of nations know not which way to turn. They have turned to Geneva and the conference table only to become frustrated. Our diplomatic forces say that they have begged Hanoi and the powers of Asia to come to the conference table? And our boys are still dying? And the bombs may be released, the dropping of the bombs may cease for a day, for a 24-hour period, but that will only allow the enemy, who is himself in an hopeless estate, to muster his forces. So from Washington or from London or from Berlin or Moscow or any of the other capitals of the world, if there could go forth some message tonight that there is hope for a world like ours, wouldn't it be a good thing to say on Christmas Day, there is no more war? There shall be no more sons and husbands and brothers to die? We cannot say that and be within the bounds of truth. But I can say to you tonight that our hope is not in Washington. Our hope is not in the stockpiles of ammunition. Our hope is not in the military might or in the satellites that circle our globe and send messages and pictures by the thousands back to us. But our hope is under God's Christmas tree, for our hope is in the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the hope of glory. He is the one who shall bring to every heart the stillness and the calmness that only God can give. And I would admonish you tonight, if your situation seems to be hopeless, to reach up a little bit higher and get the package of hope. By faith, it's there for you, and it's there for all the world. And the fourth gift is the gift of peace. Oh, what a troubled, war-torn world. As we noted a while ago, men have tried in many ways and many times to bring about a peace. We talk about a peace that will last and a peace that will not cost us our principles. But there is no peace tonight, because every time that man has tried to bring peace, he has failed. And the Bible says when they cry, peace, peace, sudden destruction cometh. We can have peace tonight. And the only reason the world doesn't have peace tonight, I mean individuals in their hearts, is because they are ignorant of one thing, that there is one source of peace, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. For Jesus said to his disciples in the Gospel according to John chapter 14, some precious words, and I want to read them to you. Verse 27, John 14. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Our peace tonight is the Lord Jesus Christ. And the gift that God has under his Christmas tree is peace for the nations and peace for every individual person in the world. If we would but by faith appropriate the promise that Jesus made, my peace I leave with you. Paul says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. He is our peace. There is one final gift under God's Christmas tree, and that is the gift of an eternal home. By faith, if we would but reach to the top of God's Christmas tree and accept the gift of that blessed home over there. My heavenly home is bright and fair, nor pain nor death can enter there. Its glittering towers the sun outshine. That heavenly mansion shall be mine. Listen to what the Savior said. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Jesus is talking to you and me. And Jesus speaks the language of all the world. He doesn't speak only English. He speaks in a language of love that is known and heard and understood by all men everywhere. That home is yours and mine. And that home and all of these other gifts and multiplied thousands of more gifts are all wrapped up in one package. Unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. No wonder Paul wrote in his second letter to the Corinthian Christians in chapter 9 and verse 15, "Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift." Nor that John put it in these words, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. How many times have you heard, and will you hear tomorrow, "Merry Christmas"? I want to tell you tonight how you can have the happiest Christmas, the merriest Christmas that anybody could ever want. And as simple as this, just do what the wise men did. And they did three things. First, they followed a star. Oh, but God has a star in the sky tonight. It may be the kind word of a friend. It may be this message. It may be a song. It may be somebody else's prayer. But that's God's star for you. And if you follow it, it'll lead you to Jesus. And the Bible says when they came to the place where he was, and this is number two, they fell down and worshiped him. They fell down and worshiped him. All the happiest experience that the Christian will ever have, perhaps apart from his own personal salvation, is in that day. When in the ages to come, by his marvelous grace, he presents us to the Father. And John says, "We'll cast our golden crowns before him, bring forth the royal diadem, and crown him Lord of all." There's one more thing that they did, and I believe they had a happy Christmas. They opened their treasures unto him, and they gave him gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. And you may not have any gold, and you may not have the precious ointment and spices of frankincense and myrrh, but your heart can be a heart of gold, and your life can be a sweet-smelling savior and sweet-smelling incense to him. Follow that star. Fall down and worship Jesus and open the treasures of your life to him. And you can experience with meaning a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. Let us stay. While our heads are bowed and just before we sing one or two stanzas of an invitation number, and I know it's Christmas Eve and I know there are only a few of us here, but I don't know the hearts, but you know what your need is, and you know what you need to do tonight to meet it and to have that merriest of all Christmases and happiest of all New Years. And so in a moment, I want, as we sing a stanza or two, to give you an opportunity. Perhaps you just feel strangely moved to come on this Christmas Eve and open the treasures of your life to Jesus. You want to be wise as the wise men were and have happiness and go back and proclaim Him to a world that's lost in darkness and sin. I want to give you a chance to come, if that be your need tonight, after we pray. Heavenly Father, we ask that Thou wouldst take these moments of invitation into Thy hands. And whatever the needs are, may they be met, even in this moment, as we pray and ask it in Jesus' name and for His sake, with thanksgiving. Amen.